This is a Kitty Pod production. The Keep It To Yourself podcast is recorded on the ancestral land of the Mohican tribe. This episode is recorded by a live human being who will be talking to another live human being for the benefit of other live human beings. You're welcome.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
From Television City in Hollywood.
Hey, man!
Welcome to episode number 193 of the Keep It To Yourself podcast, the most above average podcast ever to hit your ear holes. My name, of course, and as always, is Jason Bullitt.
The regulator, innovator, dominator, creator, evader, pussy imitator, assassinator, baby.
I demand the hour, demand the power, too sweet to be sour.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
I'm your friend.
That's right, it's me, Smokey Bear.
Gosh, what a neat guy.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
And I'm coming to you once again from the rolling hills of Saratoga County, New York. And here we are in the final stretch of Summer of Littles 2023, or the lead up to it anyway. We have a great guest coming up here to wrap up this series. So I won't waste any time. Let's just get to the social media. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Keep It To Yourself Podcast. There's the Facebook page and also the world's loneliest email, kitypod@gmail.com. But never mind that. We are going to wrap up our little chat series, and I could not have thought of no better a guest than Bob Walsh. This is the man who puts together this whole Summer of Littles spectacle that's going to be taking place this coming Saturday all around the world. Well, mostly in the United States, but there'll be venues in Canada and Australia too. So, and there's also going to be a virtual venue as well. I'll be on there. So if you're a little listening, you see a rather bull-shaded man with glasses and kind of a nevish look about him, that's me. That's your humble host. So there you go right there. And there is a vanity portion. However muddled the ending may have been. So on that note, we're going to go right to our interview, the last of the Little Chat series. And without any further let, hindrance, ado, delay, etc., we're going to get you out to the interview I did with Bob Walsh right now.
All right, folks, joining us from his home in somewhere in an undisclosed location in somewhere in Hartford, Connecticut, he said, stumbling over his words. This is the Grand Poobah, and I'm recording this in advance, but this is going to be in, this is going to drop the before Summer of Littles. This is going to be, you're going to be the last one. I mean, I can't think about anybody else to end it than Bob Walsh, ladies and gentlemen. How are you?
I'm good, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing just fine here on this Tuesday evening. We're recording this a week in advance, and just want to get into a quick origin story with Bob Walsh. So go ahead. I'll cede you the floor.
Not much to tell here. I mean, I spent most of my my formative years in New York State. You know, I was born in the city. Was raised mostly in Monticello, New York, and then went up to Clinton, New York, for college. So.
So cool. Is that Hamilton College? Is that Hamilton College?
That is Hamilton College. Spent a little time away, but came back, worked in New York, met my wife. And, you know, this is a story that the Littles have heard before, but came to a point in my life, where I was trying to decide what I was going to do. Connie and I were both working in a shelter for homeless kids in New York City. She has been a social worker her entire life, even before she knew she was a social worker. I was sitting on the stoop of our apartment, kind of trying to figure out, what was I going to do? I knew I needed to go back to school. I knew I needed sort of an advanced degree. There was some push to go to law school, but there was also a you know, we were working sort of in the social work field at the time. Connie had just finished getting her master's at NYU. And as I'm sitting there and I'm sort of pondering this, it struck me that I didn't want to be the second best social worker in my family. And so I went to law school.
All right. So, any more there? How long were you a lawyer? I don't know if you're still practicing now or you're retired.
I am. That's a difficult question. I worked in private practice for a while, and then I spent 24 years at the Hartford Insurance Company before I retired last fall. So thank you. So that's sort of the origin story. I came to Connecticut to go to law school, for the most part, we've never left. So now we've settled in lovely old Wethersfield, Connecticut, which is really, on a bad traffic day, is only 5 minutes from Center City, Hartford.
Yeah. So, what school did you go to law school at? UConn?
I went to UConn. I had the great privilege of, I started at UConn at the same time that Jim Calhoun started coaching. I got to experience all of the glory days there. It was a lot of fun.
Calhoun, I don't know how long he there. I know he won a championship in 99, and then was he there when they wanted to get in 14? And then in 04, I know he was there in 04.
He won two, and then I think two or three, and then Kevin Ollie took over the team at one point and won with the team that Calhoun left him. Up until last year, there was a couple of years ago, I guess, there was a saying here that, you know, that there are two, really, sort of. One is that, you know, the University of Connecticut is where men are men and women are national champions.
That's true.
But up until a couple of years ago, until the women lost in the finals, the Connecticut was something ridiculous. They were the men and the women were like 16-0 when they got to the final of the NCAAs. Mm-hmm. So it's been a great run, and it's been a great time to be a part of this community.
That was amazing being there for pretty much the whole. At least the beginning of what was a great dynasty. I know you mentioned Calhoun, but give some love to Gino Auriemma.
Auriemma and the new guy whose name is escaping me right now, Danny Hurley is not too shabby. So
Danny Hurley, that name kind of rings a bell. Yeah. Bobby Hurley, is he related to him by any chance?
His brother.
Oh yeah, I remember him when he was at Duke, and then he went to NBA, and then he had that unfortunate. Automobile accident.
Motorcycle accident. Yep.
Oh yeah, and then I think his father was a coach at high school in New Jersey.
Right. Father is legendary high school coach. So good stock there, and Danny's a little bit more high strung than his brother is. So
interesting times in store. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Bob, the reason we brought you here is that Summer of Littles, well, we're taping the Tuesday before, but the 5th of August, or this will drop right before that, is going to be taking place, the 2023 edition. If you can give us like a brief explanation of like, why did you decide to do like this type of event? I know August was lacking a holiday. I'm glad you provided it.
So this is all Jamie Julian's fault. I had never met a little in the phrase I think that's now in vogue is meeting a little in the wild. I'd never met a little in person, and a business trip took me to Denver when Jamie and Rob were living out in Denver, and right. And so and as a lot of the community is sort of connected on social media, and I had said to Jamie, I said, you know, why don't, I'm going to be there. I have a late flight, or my flight doesn't leave till the morning after my meetings. Why don't we have a drink? And we did. And it was one of those things, you know, typical things where, you know, you're meeting somebody that you really have no idea who they are. And so we had a drink just sort of to feel each other out and make sure that we weren't, you know, you know, that neither they nor I were psychos. And and once we decided that we weren't, then we went out and we had dinner, at which point Jamie said, well, you know, aren't you going to Jingle Fest? And I said, no, I've never been. And, you know, it's a pretty far distance from Connecticut where I live. And she said, no, you got to come. We have an extra ticket because Rob's a performer. And so, you know, we get one of our things is comped. And so you got to come. And so, so I did. So I she convinced me. I drove down. I experienced sort of the first Mingle Fest. You know, that famous hotel room that was gotten by Robin Cowie. And then we had a medical emergency at home, and I had to come home. I never actually made it to the concert. I got a call on Saturday morning. And so I had that long drive home, and as I'm driving home, I'm thinking about, you know, how terrific this experience has been, how it sounds ridiculous, or cliche, how wonderful these people were, and the experience in terms of, you know, meeting other people in person and sort of having something in common already. So it's not, there's no icebreaker needed. It's already sort of in place. And, you know, and again, knew a lot of these people from social media. So, it felt like home. It felt like, you know, these were my friends. So as I'm driving back, I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's really too bad that more people can't have this experience. I hatched this idea of, well, why don't we do this in our own locales? Why don't, you know, it'll be smaller, but it'll, you know, it'll be close. It will have something, you know, people have something to talk about. They'll kind of know each other in advance. They'll certainly sort of, and you know, and nobody in the group is stupid. Everybody's smart and everybody is funny.
Yes.
Yep. And that was pre-COVID. So that was time when Tony took the summers off. And so I just picked I picked the first Saturday in August as sort of the midpoint of Tony's vacation. Yeah. You know, something to, you know, that would get us through. And so that was to have been June of that year. And so we put it together, and I was looking at this earlier today. I think that we had really sort of four venues in that first year. We had something here in Wethersfield. We had obviously something out in Denver with, because Jamie and Rob were still there, DC. And then, and I always like to tell the story, you know, Ed Butt, you know, at Stormcloud Brewery in Frankfurt, basically sitting at the end of the bar by himself. And drinking alone. That's just the story of how I had hoped it would work out is that, you know, the first year he was drinking alone, last year and this year, people are planning their vacations around visiting Ed at Stormcloud. So the thing has grown. We've got, you know, this year we have 38 in-person venues and one, you know, and then we had the virtual venue as well. We added that a couple of years ago.
I met you.
That's right.
That was two years ago, 2000.
Yeah. So it was just an idea that what I had experienced at Jingle Fest, you know, shouldn't be just the people who were in the DC area or people who had the means to go to DC, but maybe we could do something that would be a little more economical for folks and so that folks could meet other littles in the wild.
Now, there you go right there. I mean, I've tried and failed to organize two events. The less said about those, the better.
I heard you say that on either Dinas or Joe's. And let's just let the record be straight. You know, you picked two of the more creative things to do, you know, in terms of going to the baseball game, you know, and that, you know, there that had been done, in Columbus, and we're doing it again this year in Milwaukee with the Brewers. Yep, but the other part was, you know, the thing at Saratoga, and in both circumstances, it was a situation where there was, you know, where weather and other things were sort of, you know, impeded. And so, no, I would not. I think you gotta give yourself credit for stepping up and doing some planning, and it's just that they didn't work out. It has nothing to do with you. You, God bless you. I listen, Don. And as I said earlier on with Chuck and Roxy, you know, God bless Don Hammack down in Biloxi, Mississippi. This will be the third year that he does this. And he hasn't had anybody show up, and he keeps, you know, he's going to keep, you know, running that plate till somebody shows up. So, so I really appreciate, all of the hosts, all the folks, cause it's, you know, it's a little bit, the actual job in terms of just, you know, picking a place and showing up and putting yourself out there, you know, it's not hard. But it takes a certain amount of, you know, do I really want, you know, putting yourself out there, and then that's not always easy. And so I very much appreciate the hosts who do that. And even the ones who, you know, in those situations where, you know, they end up drinking alone, that's a terrific part of, it demonstrates, I think, the importance and of the connective tissue of our community.
Well said there, Bob. So you have a meetup going on. That will be probably the day this drops. I'm looking for a Saturday. So like I said, you're going to be the last one of this whole series. You probably have something planned in Connecticut's capital region.
We do. So, and I'm excited. Product placement being everything, I've already secured the Summer of Littles beer, made by Jason Ufima at Chi-Town Brewing down in Lewiston, Pennsylvania, who, by the way, is also going to be the host of a venue for us. So Jason sent me up a case of Summer Littles beer so that I could share it with the Littles here in Connecticut.
There you go, right there. All right, so. We've talked a good length about Summer of Littles, but what was your first exposure to Tony Kornheiser, like podcast, radio show, newspapers? What was it?
So it was a podcast. And the only reason I know that is because I remember, I distinctly remember downloading his show to my iPod, not my phone, my iPod. So it gives you an idea of how long ago it was. But how I stumbled upon him, or I honestly I have no idea. I just know that, you know, I just have a recollection of, you know, listening to this this guy and finding him amusing downloading onto my iPod and then I probably haven't missed an episode since.
Yeah, well, there you go right there. So, all right, I got a couple of questions for you before we sign off here. Who is your favorite member of the Tony Kornheiser crew? I mean, I've mentioned with Dina, I've mentioned this with Joe, and I think I mentioned this with Bob Sproul, that is, the other Bob. The one thing I miss about pre-COVID Tony Kornheiser was the amount of people that would be on the show. You know, you'd have Gary Braun, you'd have Gene McManus, Saliza, you'd have David Aldridge, and you have Tori Clark, insert name here.
Yep.
But who's your favorite among them? I mean, Gary Braun's been a popular pick among the Littles. What, does he rank up there with you?
Yeah, well, I love Gary, and, you know, and there is no bigger supporter of the Littles, and, you know, and Gary's been to, Dina's venue, you know, I think every year that we've had it at where DACA. brewery, which is because it's yeah. it's close to his house. But no, my, and with all due respect to Gary, I mean, you know, my favorite big is Liz Clark. We share our love of Springsteen, although I don't think that I love Springsteen as much as she does. She's spectacularly articulate on the show, and then if it's possible, she's even more articulate when she writes. And it's just one of the things that that got me interested. So Jason, there was a point in time, and I know you're a Yankees fan, and there was a point in time where I was also an enormous Yankees fan. And then when they built the new stadium, I just lost it. The amount of money that it takes to, you know, to take a family of four to the game, I just was completely fed up. And so I, about that time, I also, for reasons I won't get into, I also lost interest in my football team. So, one of the things that sort of came across my desk, at that point in time was Liz's book, One Hell of a Ride, about NASCAR. And as it turned out, one of my clients at the Hartford was an owner of a NASCAR team. And so, I began, watching NASCAR, and in fact, the race that was held on this past Sunday at Pocono, my daughter and I were there about 5 years ago, and got a chance to see the stuff live and to meet the driver that we root for. That's a long explanation, but without question, Liz Clark, my favorite. And if you haven't read her article on Diego Maradona, the one that she wrote when he died, you gotta go back and read it, because it is just laugh out loud funny. It's ridiculous.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is like right after. Yeah, I'll certainly give that a lead. I'll give that a read. I'll give that a search as soon as I'm done talking with you. But by the way, that favorite driver, do you know who he is offhand? Or?
Of course I do. Martin Truex Jr.
Oh, yeah. I think I heard he might be going part-time after this season, from what I recall. Well,
he's getting up there a little bit. And, for all of our DC guys, you know, he's part of Joe Gibbs's racing team. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. You've been a gracious guest here. Say one last question, then we'll sign off. Over or under?
Oh, over. It's not even a question.
Oh, wow. So not often, never in doubt.
Never in doubt.
I want to say thank you for wrapping up this little chat series. I certainly appreciate it. If you haven't signed up, well, hopefully you have. I don't know if the RSVP date probably passed by the time this episode drops. So if you've signed up, have fun to everybody on the Summer of Littles, and I'm sure that after this one comes to an end, next year's going to start. You're going to start playing for next year, 2024.
August 3rd, 2024.
Yep. Okay. Bob, have yourself a good one, and thanks for coming on here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Jason, and thanks for having this run up to Summer Littles.
All right. No problem.
And my thanks once again to Bob Walsh for closing out the Little Chat series. And more importantly, thanks to everybody who participated. I truly appreciate it. I'll have some reflections about this series when we get to the One More Thing portion of this episode. And now it's time for a segment that I haven't done too much in recent times, and it's called One More Thing. This is where I talk about something that I discussed at the top of the show, or maybe in the main body, or I didn't have time to talk about it at all. In the former case, I just circle back to it right here and now. Well, this isn't something that happened in this episode particularly, but this has been going on the last, I'd say, couple of weeks in the run-up to Summer of Littles 2023. When I started this podcast back in 2017, I had no idea it would get to this level, where I'd be talking to fans of the Tony Kornheiser Show. I started listening a few months before this podcast started, and suddenly my mom passes away, and here I am a month later doing this little dog and pony show that I so lovingly and tongue-in-cheekingly call it. Well, I wound up using this series to try and get everybody excited for Summer of Littles, but also this was me getting out of my own comfort zone. It's one thing when I have old friends from high school, but they've got their own things, you know, at their age, at this stage and chapter in their lives, he said stutteringly. And I figured, well, this is a time for me to get out of my comfort zone. And I was a little nervous when I did the first interview with Dina in Damascus. Go back and listen to that. Dig through the archives. And I think for something that I had wanted to do and was nervous about, I think I handled myself pretty well. You've listened to this episode and all the rest of the interviews I've done the last 2 weeks. You'll certainly bear that out in your mind. So once again, I want to thank Dean in Damascus, in this order, Joe Arrow, Bob Sproul, Chuck and Roxy, edit that out, maybe, and Bob Walsh for their participation in this little chat series. To those of you who I DM'd on Facebook and lumped you into the group, hopefully I'll get you in the list for next year. Actually, you'll be in the mix, so you'll have nothing to worry about in August of 2024. And on that note, we will bring to an end not only the Little Chat series, but the 193rd episode of the Keep It To Yourself podcast. I certainly thank you as ever for listening, especially if you've been a little the last couple of weeks. If you're not, thanks for indulging me. If you are a little, great. If not, join us. We're a fun group. And kind of weird, too. But don't come down on us for that. Oh, are you in the show already? All right. I'm getting there.
Come on, man. What are we doing out there, man?
For those of you who are attending Summer of Littles events this weekend, and specifically this Saturday, wherever you are, I hope you have a great and safe time among your brethren and sistren, among fans of the Tony Kornheiser Show. I'll see you on the virtual venue. It'll be getting around supper time in my little corner of the world, 5-6 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. But trust me on this one, I'm looking forward to meeting everybody who's going to be hosting and participating in this bad boy. And on that note, we're finally going to put the wraps on F-193. I thank you once again for listening. And as always, and above all else, wait for it. And for the last time in a while, if you're on your bike tonight, do wear white. Otis lives.
Supposed to blow the bloody doors off.